to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, it's time for more suds.
Hello there. Come on in. I got the fire going. I got some beer on the table. And here we are, right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, that was weird.
What? I was trying to get like all, you know.
She's so trying to set the mood.
What kind of seasonally mood was appropriate. That,
I was trying to, yeah.
All right.
Whatever.
Get in the spirit, Dave.
Whatever, man.
I was trying.
Okay, Grinch.
Well, folks, this is another sud segment where really good beer meets really bad radio, apparently from a couple of seconds ago. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I love your festive sweatshirt.
It's my favorite holiday sweatshirt.
It's pretty rad. Pretty rad.
Kendall is holiday appropriate.
He is.
And seasonal.
And also very holiday appropriate is good old boy Sparky.
Shalom, fools.
That's right.
Yes. And that's a very schnazzy. What kind of blue is that? Is there a special name for that blue?
Traditional Hanukkah blue.
Hanukkah blue.
Color
blind. I think it's
so
Hanukkah
probably
blue.
Probably shouldn't ask me about colors.
That's okay. Right.
Well, I just have a quick question. Does Kendall's sweatshirt smell like celebration? Because I feel like that if they
scratch and sniff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If the hop cones were scratch and sniff, that'd be wonderful.
That would be.
That would be cool. Yeah. I would probably get someone arrested at some point, though.
I would think. Yeah.
Depending on what year.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a lady walking around with scratchable cones.
Well, there's this.
Where's the rim shot? Where's the rim shot?
I'll do that. That was probably
bump.
Wow.
Those are some fresh cones.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. Sean. Good old boy, Sean. Hello.
The atheist says happy holidays.
Nice. He's not outwardly festive, but he's inwardly.
Yes. Very inwardly festive. Yes. Yes. And good old boy, Dave. Hi.
Gag me with a spoon.
Totally.
That's all I got.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, today's episode is a takeover of Suarez Family Brewery in Hudson, New York. I'm so excited. I got a few of their beers for good old boy Dave recently. Yes.
Yay,
I know. Sometimes I'm nice. And since the only thing better than drinking beer is sharing it with your friends, we decided to have the good old boys over to try some of this.
Because we don't have friends, so we had to.
You got us.
Well, you know, it's working.
We see how it works.
Yeah, they're our version of friends.
Yeah.
Co-hosts are close enough.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Suarez family?
Sure.
Brewery.
They don't say much about themselves on their website, other than that they're a mom and pop production brewery. But I did find some info in a March 26, 2020 article from microbrewery.com. The brewery is in what was a garage space for a tractor dealership. A lot of breweries seem to go into garage spaces. That's weird. They specialize in mixed fermentation ales, unfiltered lagers, and a lot of their beers are below 6% ABV. The tasting room seems like a really nice place to chill out and sample current and vintage beers. So I think we should definitely try to visit them the next time we're up in the Hudson Valley area.
Yes. And just a little side note here. It took three times for me to finally get some of their beer.
Yeah.
Because of where they are and the hours that they keep. So this is like a big, huge win for me to have them in front of me. And from the outside, the place is really great. Because I know the outside really well.
Have you ever driven up like a tractor to say, try to fool them? Like,
you guys got
hours?
A carburetor?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, no. Okay. Good old boy, Kendall. Why don't you tell us the lineup for today?
All right. The Suarez Family Brewery beers we'll be trying today are Four Kicks, an American Pale Ale, the Nimble Pills, Stand to Reason, a smoked lager, also another lager, a dark lager called Bones Shirt. There's the Miss Frank Keller beer, and if time permits, we might have a bonus beer on tap.
Thank you.
Hey, good old boy Sparky, would you give us today's Sudge ratings?
You got it, Dave. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Masterfully done. Masterfully done.
All right. Oh, Godzilla burp.
Well, let's get into the first one. The first one that we're going to talk about is the Four Kicks, the American Pale Ale. And 5.1% ABV. It's their West Coast-inspired pale, brewed with Heidelberg malt, extra pale pills malt, copious amounts of crystal hops in the kettle, and dry hopped with Chinook.
Oh, good grief. This is delicious. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the nose, on everything else.
Yeah. On everything. Yeah.
That's an interesting choice of using the Heidelberg malt. I approve. It's one I like to brew with a lot. So, yeah. Good
what
German
do you,
malt.
What do you like about it?
Just what it brings to the beer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Not your run-of-the-mill Pilsner malt. It's not your run-of-the-mill German pale malt. It's just a good, solid malt for brewing some beers.
I like that this is not filtered because it's not like hazy, but it's
right.
You can tell they didn't try to run it through a bright tank to strip all the flavor out of it.
Yeah. The simplicity of this beer is amazing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And Sparky hit right on it. That aroma is gorgeous. It's West Coast
all the way.
Yeah, you got grapefruit and a little piney resin in there. And then you take a drink of it. It is so crisp and light-bodied. The carbonation just pops. And it vaguely takes me back to that classic pale ale.
You know,
the Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, kudos for them to not going Cascade with this and doing the dry hop with the Chinook. That is really, really tasty. Yeah,
but it's still a very classic in the mold of the classic pale ale.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's simple but so well executed. Yep. I smelled it, I just started grinning because it just made me really happy. It's like, oh man,
it's just so satisfying.
Oh my god, it's the best thing ever.
Well, the other thing too, the bittering on this is really, really nice. None of that classic oniony, garlicky bitter bombs of yore. Mm-hmm. This is really, really a tasty, tasty beer.
And I love that people are starting to use Chinook again. Mm-hmm. I feel like we went years without hearing about anybody using Chinook, and now you're seeing it more and more show up as a dry hop.
It is a great dry hop. Yeah, it's one of those. I learned that secret from the Mitten Brewery a few years back, that if you want really good piney notes, Chinook provides a really wonderful dry hop. A lot of people see the alpha acids and they think, oh, bittering. No, mm-hmm. Save it for the dry hop.
Yeah, sure.
I think the body of this through the mid palate too is just really fulfilling. Like it just, and it ends very well too. Like you can tell that even without the dry hopping, this is just a really solid, well built.
It's so refreshing.
Yeah, yes. There's there's nothing bad about this beer at all.
The suck factor is low.
Yeah, really, non-existent. Really, yeah,
it doesn't
really
come in huge barrels. You know, we don't have a huge drum of it.
That is my big regret. Although yeah. I would like to shotgun a big barrel of it. I would be there for that.
I'd take a vat.
Fair. Party ball.
Yeah. So good.
But if this this is what... How do I want to say this? This is like what I want to look for from a brewery is like, I'm kind of done with extraneous kind of things going on right now. Like one we had a little earlier.
Oh man.
You know, but this is, it's classic and it's putting you in that like full West Coast, but not really. It's showing a bit of restraint, which is really nice. And to me, this is what the pale ale should be.
There's no all static, the time. Right? Like it's just like a straight line, really well executed. You know, a lot of things that are just complex are just complex because they're throwing everything in the cupboard.
Yeah.
The
right. Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Right. And again, the simplicity is, you know, like if every brewery can make something like this, what a beautiful world this
would be. If all breweries could make beers that taste like beer.
Make beer again.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt on this one.
As if there was a shock, we are going to rate the Four Kicks from Suarez Family a 5.
So did you set us up and it's just going to be all downhill after this? Like we're crap. Supposed to save this for a while. Okay, cool.
This is going
to
be like the Aldi show again, man.
Yeah.
One good beer and
the rest were nightmare. Yeah.
It's going to be just all cardboard. Yeah.
I'm hoping for like the Edmonds O show where everything was exceptional.
You get a 5. You get a 5.
Let's see if we can keep the streak going.
Right. Oh boy.
All right. Well, the next one that we're going to talk about is Nimble Pils. It's a German Pilsner, 5.1% ABV.
I haven't even tasted it yet, and I'm in love.
Yeah, I've got like a nice cereal note in the nose.
Oh, yeah. Really that light grainy, almost crackery.
Well, you don't have to drink it. I'll take it if you need. Just smell it and I'll just keep smelling. Take care of that. Yeah.
Kendall's going to inhale it.
Yeah, this is really refreshing.
Holy cow.
There's not a lot of talking going on right now.
That's a pills.
Yeah.
That is totally a pills.
Somebody's been to Germany.
Mm. Oh. Yep.
Or Germania.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's something so easy about this.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute to discuss more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone.
That is the sound I want to hear.
The sound of good beer. Yeah. Okay. So... for those of you just tuning in, we are doing a brewery takeover of Suarez Family Brewery in Hudson, New York. A good hub of great breweries, if I do say so myself.
At least two.
And what we're talking about is Nimble Pils, which is their German Pilsner. And beautiful in its simplicity again.
Do we think they've succeeded in making a German Pilsner?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Yes. Executed.
No question.
German Pilsner.
No question.
Check it off. Yeah.
You know, I think one time I got a chance to eat a really amazing restaurant once and people got really quiet while they started to eat. And then somebody laughed. And I remember somebody I was dining with said, like, that's the greatest sign. It's food so good it makes you laugh. Like, and that's how I felt when I drank this pills. It was just like, good Lord, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Instant happiness.
You want to shut up for a few minutes and just be in it, you know, and enjoy the moment. And then, yeah, kind of.
Whew. It's got that beautiful, delicate, light malt body. I get like crackery, bready. Mm-hmm. But then it comes in with that gorgeous floral, a little bit spicy bitterness. And that's the thing I love about Pilsners is that bitterness that's there that just kind of cleans the palate off.
Nice dry.
And it just gets
you ready for the next sip.
Yeah. And you just want to keep drinking. It's so beautiful. Delicate, but complex.
Yeah. It's perfect bittering. It just everything about it is... I can't say enough good things. It
just makes you laugh.
It makes me laugh a lot.
Oh, I mean, it puts a smile on your face. And what's nice about this for people that think that they need to have like a hot bomb, you know, New England IPA, and that's the only way to go. No, 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 no. You're doing it all wrong, folks. When a good Pilsner has been executed well, I mean, it has hoppiness at the end. And what's nice about a good Pilsner is you start off bready, you know, and you're kind of meaty, and then you hit the spice, and then it shuts off, and it's just done, and you're just left with a big smile on your face. Or at least I think. I'm happy.
I'm very happy.
Happy.
I am
happy.
Too.
So happy. Good.
Happy. Oh, geez. God. Okay, I guess we got to rate this one a 5.
Fine.
Yeah.
We may have to start adding a 6 or a 7, like, to the scale.
Thank you.
Well, there you go.
That was beautiful.
That was truly. We really should capture that and use that as.
That might be. Yeah, I can probably. I'll go pull that down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Lord. There was a lot of gusto.
That's the joy that I have from drinking that Pilsner.
The downer is we did lose the damage deposit on that mic.
Right. Yeah,
it was worth it. It was so worth it.
Totally worth it.
Hey, we can get more mics.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
Mike can get more mics.
Mike's got plenty of mics.
Hey, oh.
Yeah, love it. Fancy.
So, Sparky. Got anything interesting to talk about?
It's story time.
Well, funny you mentioned that, Dave. I was scouring the interwebs, and a funny little news story came across my way.
Well, tell us, please.
All right, so this one takes place in the great state of Florida.
Oh, nothing interesting ever happens there.
It's no, we're all beholden to Florida. So the story is a Florida man chugs 2 beers in under 30 seconds at Epcot, removes shirt, and almost falls from Skyliner platform during skirmish with police.
So what? It's that guy again.
Yeah. And you know what? If you could just cram all the Florida into one sentence, you got
that's,
it right.
That's kind of it right there.
All right. So this happened back in November 16th. An intoxicated Florida man chugged 2 beers in less than 30 seconds at the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival because nothing says classy like chugging 2 beers.
At Epcot.
At Epcot.
Yeah.
It would not take long for the rest of his visit to Disney World to unravel. Was there meth involved? Let's find out. Chase Holderby. Wow, we've actually got the name. That's kind of like
Holderby.
He seems like he should be wearing an ascot at Epcot with the name Holderby.
Well, if it was Chase Holderby III.
A William Faulkner character.
William, go Faulkner yourself. Chase Holderby sounded friendly at first as he offered handshakes and high fives. Man, he was really growing out to everyone in line at one of the stands in Epcot at September 10th, according to a newly released Orange County Sheriff's Report. The 30-year-old Merritt Island man had already caught the attention of authorities because he appeared to be intoxicated. He was stumbling, being excessively loud, swearing, and instantly unsteady on his feet, the sheriff's report said. Then deputies watched Holderby chug 2 beers in less than 30 seconds at the American Adventure Pavilion. And let's be frank, folks, that was an American Adventure.
I mean...
By then, visitors were already complaining about his behavior. A Disney food and beverage manager photographed Holderby and alerted all the food and beverage locations not to serve Holderby.
I mean, if you're going to pound, if you're going to pound 2 beers, if you're going to pound 2 beers in 30 seconds, you might as well do it in front of the cops,
right?
I mean, let's be honest,
and flip off with both hands. The others in Holderby's group knew Holderby was getting himself into trouble. They tried to get him to drink water and then head towards the park exit, but Holderby didn't get very far. sorry. He got into an argument with his group in the at the Japan Pavilion. The sheriff's report said deputies warned him to stop making disturbances. When he got to the Morocco Pavilion, Holderby was confronted by a Disney security manager who ordered him to leave the theme park. Holderby placed his finger on the Disney's Disney employee's chest. Oh boy.
Oh jeez.
And started causing a scene, swearing and yelling that he hadn't done anything wrong, the sheriff's report said. Holderby reached the international gateway. He took off his shirt and kept asking what he had been done. Oh, the entitlement. It's like a fine aged wine.
Oh,
Holderby continued to yell and ask what he did wrong all the way up to the ramp to the Skyliner. Once in the line queue, he continued to act belligerent and caused the crowd of people in line to become alarmed, the sheriff's report said. While attempting to get him into the physical gondola car, he would initially get in and was dangerously close to falling into the area beneath where the attraction operates. As the disturbance continued, the staff stopped the entire transportation system for Holderby safely, inconveniencing, delaying other riders. All Holderby had to do was ride the gondola one stop to Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort, where his family was staying. But he never made it. Holderby initially entered the individual gondola of the Skyliner, but then began to push his way out to hurl insults at members of the security, the sheriff's report said. Holderby was arrested for trespassing and disorderly conduct and taken to jail. Orange County Circuit Courts showed that he took a plea deal earlier this month. He pleaded no contest to the charges and paid a $273 fine. He was credited for already serving one day in jail and didn't get additional jail time. Holderby's attorney did not comment for this story.
Nice.
So, I mean, I feel like it should be an international incident, but it's just in Florida.
Right.
No, wow. But you had enough pavilions. It was
This is totally an international incident.
A microcosm of international.
Does that count as global terrorism?
It does. Absolutely does.
Here's my takeaway. I can go to Epcot, get hammered and crazy, and take off my shirt, and it's only going to cost me a day in jail and $273.
Yeah.
That sounds like a deal. So
that's bringing the savings back to you.
I have to say, when you read that story, it reminded me of a lot of my childhood vacations.
It's because you vacationed right.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Just another day in the Magic Kingdom, man.
Could you imagine, if that is a daily thing, God.
It's got to be, though.
Think about it.
If you bring alcohol into stupid,
alcohol into Florida.
In general, you're right.
The same thing.
You got jerks from every country in the world coming there, all at once. And we got plenty of jerks here already in the U.S.
You don't want to try that at the German pavilion because Zeva be order und you will be escorted immediately off the premises. I mean, you can try to get that to fly in Morocco.
These shuttles run on time.
Yes.
Do not stop the shuttles.
Yeah, you go to Disney Beijing and you try that stuff.
Disappeared.
They'll never hear from
you'll
you
You'll be
again.
Making sweatshirts for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
You learn how to make an iPhone.
Yeah, fast. Dang, that's messed up. Banned in China. Wait, were we ever not banned in China?
Well,
we had a chance.
We had a moment of freedom, but
it's gone now.
Wow.
Good run.
Well, thank you for that.
Just want you guys to be informed of what's going on next time you guys go to the Disney parks.
Yeah.
I think the lesson is just stay out of Florida.
Yeah. It's not wrong.
It's a good idea.
I've been cutting back myself, so.
All right, moving on. Let's get back to some beer here, right? Okay. The next one that we are going to talk about is Stands to Reason.
A little different from the last beer.
Their smoked lager.
A Rausch beer.
Rausch beer.
Yes.
Well, and a Dunkel Rausch beer.
Yeah. And 5.1% ABV again. The 5.1 times 3.
The nose alone on this, I was hooked, and the flavor does not disappoint.
Does anybody not like
follows.
Is like anybody here like really against smoked beers?
I love them. Love them.
I wish I made you guys some smoked Chex Mix, which if we need to save a little bit of this and try, I think
we got
to
save a can, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a Facebook group just for smoked beer.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, all six people that are on it really are passionate about.
It is a very passionate group, that is for sure.
Small, but passionate.
High passion bubble.
bunch of guys named Smokey. Yeah.
No, you know, there's, I think there's very little like a mentholated, you know, flavor. I think that's the tasting note that I often get in Rausch beers that turns me off, not getting any of this.
Or that phenol.
Yes.
With
that weird kind of
super light.
No, and like the Beechwood malt that is traditionally used is definitely very guilty of giving off a good phenol note. Mm-hmm. But I presume, given what we know about this brewery, what little we know.
I don't think they did that.
They're using the German, I think they're using the Beechwood malt. It's just they've got it dialed in just perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had smoked beers, it tastes like you took a stick out of a campfire and gnawed on it for a while.
Yeah. Or like the inside of a smoker.
Yeah. But this is so subtle. The smoke is there, and it reminds, you know, us of the history of all beers were smoked beers a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Before we had modern kilning technology, they would dry the grains and over smoke.
So you were getting smoke, whether you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
There's that German beer that has that really long name and I can't ever say it.
Lichtenhainer?
No,
I can Schlenkerla.
Is it the one with the old man?
Yeah, the old guy on it, and then it's like kind of 30 letter name.
Is that Winter Warmer?
Mm.
At the ML Rose thing.
The first time I had it was so overly smoked. It was like kind of what you were talking about, Sparky. Like there's a lot of the off flavors on it that really turned me off of smoked beers for a long time.
Well, it's
Yeah, the thing I love about this beer is in the nose is there's some chocolate with the smoke, and it just complements each other so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there needs to be enough other parts to the beer beyond the smoke to kind of balance out the smoke, too.
Yeah. And it's hard to find good ones because most people don't make them because, let's be honest, they don't sell. Yeah, most people aren't going to go, give me the smokiest beer you got.
It's us beer nerds that like hardcore this kind of stuff.
Beer nerds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Freigeist.
Is it?
Fry
Maybe,
guys
yeah.
with the old man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mayor McCheese and the Fry Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget that.
Wow.
And Grimace.
Yeah. Grimace.
Yeah.
It made me grimace.
Hamburger.
Yeah, when I drank it. Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many. I would love to pair this with so many foods.
Yes.
And the smoke checks.
This is definitely a good.
Please save some for
a beer you want to drink while you're working the grill, like grilling up food, grilling up meats.
Because you're covered in smoke anyway.
Right,
this would go so well with a nice burger with a little char on it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And the thing about this is, you know how like some of them get so smoky that you almost can taste the carbon, you know, on your tongue? This is not that.
And all creosote all the time.
But it has this like little hint of like almost dark chocolate at the end.
Yeah.
You know, as a sweetness.
End.
Oh my gosh. Who does this? This is great.
Suarez. Yeah. Have you been to the Hudson Valley?
Yeah.
They're there.
Apparently, in an old tractor garage, you can find this.
I'm told.
So, you know, a lot of your Rausch beers are definitely more on the paler side. This is definitely on the dark side. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the secret to
this. Yeah.
Yes.
And even right down to the carbonation, man. Sorry, I'm just like jazzed about this carbonation in this beer.
This girl loves a carbonation, man.
Yeah.
She's a carbonation freak.
Okay, so we are going to rate.
Yeah.
We're four. If I could say 4.5, I would.
Well, I'd go
5.
You know me, I go either way.
All right, so. Five.
I can bump up. You can twist my arm.
We're going 5.
Let's keep the streak going.
All right.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is.
Especially like if you rate it as a Rausch beer, it's 100% it's a 5.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Now, okay, so in thinking about Rausch beers, are there any that what is the reference standard for that?
I can't pronounce it. Is it Schlenklera?
Something like
Schlenklera.
That.
Schlenklera.
Yeah,
they make a Helles, they make a Doppel, so they've got a couple stylish varieties, but they're all beautiful smoky beers. The problem is the bottles you find in America are usually so old, they're not that great anymore.
Yeah, they've fallen off exponentially.
And that might be what happened because I think that's what what I was thinking of. And, excuse me. Ooh.
Let it out, Dave.
Better out than in, right?
It's not healthy to leave it inside.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think that really hurts us with some of the international beers that come in because A, you don't, you know, it takes a while to get here. But then B, especially if it's a style that a lot of people don't buy, you don't know how long something's been sitting on the shelf.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and I can tell you, too, that they're not treated the right way getting over here a lot of times because some of the importers just don't give a rat's ass. So they come in and, you know, unrefrigerated, you know, and container.
Yeah. And that's sad because when you can have a beer as great as this, you know, coming over like from the mother country, so to speak, God, we're missing out.